Dealing Biblically with Physical Pain on this edition of Truth and Love. I'm Dale Johnson, and you're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to provide biblical solutions to the problems that people face. This week on the podcast, I have with me Manuel Herrera. He's an ACBC certified counselor, and he's a part of the Spanish Biblical Counseling Ministry at Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California. He also graduated from medical school in Mexico, and Manny's becoming a fast friend of mine. We've enjoyed some time together teaching in Argentina. It was a wonderful time together, and I'm really looking forward to our time today talking about this issue of physical pain. And this is a part, I think, that sometimes we assume maybe the Bible doesn't speak directly to or speak about. We have a tendency to separate spiritual things from physical things, but it's interesting to see what the Bible says about these things. And so we're going to talk to a physician, one who has been trained medically to help us sort of think through this, who's also been trained in theological education as well. So those two worlds converging, and I think Manny can help us here. So Manny, let's start with this question. How does the human body produce, or how do we feel pain?
Well, this is a very good question. And I would like to start saying that pain is a protective mechanism. We experience some kind of pain all the time in our lives. If we sit for a long time in a certain position, the pressure can cause some tissue destruction of the skin, instead of obstructing the normal blood flow. So that uncomfortable or painful sensation forces us to change position. And the way in which God designed our body in relation to pain is very interesting and certainly exalt his creator character. And the body can perceive a sensation that we call fast pain, as when a needle is stuck in the skin, or when one cuts oneself with a knife, or when one suffers an intense burn. And it can also perceive as a slow pain that has the capacity to cause almost unbearable and prolonged suffering, because it can be felt even in the deepest tissues of the organism, for example, a muscle spasm or a pain caused by ischemia, like a heart attack, etc. So all these different types of pain are transmitted by receptors, which are nothing more than free nerves endings, that in fractions of second, the signal that something is wrong with the tissue to our central nervous system is sent. So, for example, the nerve fibers that transmit rapid pain travel from the peripheral nerves to the spinal cord at a speed of up to 30 meters per second. Isn't it wonderful? I mean, this is very interesting. So God designed our body with several mechanisms, and one of them is pain. So sometimes knowing details like this lead us to praise God for creating a machine as complex as the human body is.
Yeah, I like the way that you phrase that, describing God as creator and the reason that these types of mechanisms are in our body. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking of when I was a child, 5 years old, and I can remember my mom telling me over and over again on a Sunday morning. She would stand out in one of our main rooms, and she would have the ironing board out with the iron. And I don't know why I was so intrigued. Maybe the water that was coming out in steam or something. I have no idea. But she would tell me, don't touch the iron. And for some reason, that was almost like, you know, I needed to go explore and find out what was going on. And I think about when I touch my hand to the iron, how grateful I am that it wasn't immediate, but it was pretty quick. And it probably saved my hand from getting really torn up and burned bad, because I snatched it back. And let's just say I've never done that again. There was a mechanism immediately where, you know, I had a reflex to snatch my hand back. Now, as we think about physical pain, we've all had moments sort of like that where something happened and we find ourselves, you know, reflexing in a particular way. Describe a little bit of how physical pain can affect us as believers, particularly think about it in terms of how it can sometimes not alters our faith, but it certainly challenges our faith or our relationship with God. Maybe it alters or challenges what we think is true in a given moment when we're experiencing something that's in the physical realm like pain.
Yeah, first I would like to mention that today we live in an anti-pain culture, and more efforts are being made to make people pain-free. in medicine, there is this medical specialty or subspecialty called algology, from algios, the Greek word, which means pain. And this medical specialty focuses on just that, offering treatments that accompany the patient to mitigate pain or eradicate the pain. This is all good, and it is definitely a blessing to see how God provides opportunities like this regarding pain. However, something very interesting happens, and that is that this anti-pain culture also fits this man's victimism. So many allow themselves to be dominated by physical pain. Others take refuge in physical pain to make themselves victims of their responsibilities before God. For many, physical pain can even become an idol in the heart. It can come to occupy an important place in life where everything around it revolves around trying to eliminate it. So for some Christians, physical pain can become the main aspect of defining their life. This causes a decrease in the motivation to keep a close relationship with God. So we need to consider that important. So many believers suffering from chronic physical pain may become discouraged and uninterested in prayer and the study of the word, gathering with other believers, serving other believers, etc. So I don't want to be insensitive above all this. On the contrary, I want to help our brothers and sisters who listen to this episode to think biblically about physical pain. And we need to understand that God is sovereign in our pain. He uses the pain in our body for His glory and to continue conforming us into the character of Christ. So physical pain is a good example of the suffering of this life.
And it doesn't limit our ability in the inner man to grow. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 makes that part very clear. Now I'm thinking in terms of practical advice. You know, somebody's going through a difficult time. Maybe they are feeling lots of pain. It could be cancer treatment. Maybe their hip is not doing well. So any position that they find themselves in or any type of chronic pain. And those things do become dominant in your mind, and it's hard to get those things out of your mind. They seem to dominate your day. Talk about some practical advice, Manny, that you can offer someone who's trying to help a friend or family member with physical pain. Try to talk about it in a way that it may be that to me, where I'm trying to comfort a family friend. How can I be effective in being compassionate, showing support for them when they're going through this pain? And I, at that moment, I'm not feeling that same type of pain. How do I do that?
Yeah, this is a very useful question, and I definitely think it applies to our consolees as well. So let me mention some aspects. First of all, this is an opportunity to listen compassionately. Counselors, we need to be compassionate and patient listeners. Allow your consolee to express their feelings, or your friend, your family member to express their feelings concerning and struggling with this pain. And also, this is an opportunity to be sensitive and understand what they are dealing with. We need to recognize that everyone responds to physical pain differently. And we need to be wise and be sensitive to their emotional and physical needs at the very stage of the process. Avoid these simplistic judgments or advice, and instead offer your support with humility and understanding. Romans 12. 15 exhorts us to mourn with those who mourn. So this is an opportunity that we have to answer in this particular way. Of course, we need to offer emotional support in terms of love. I would say this is an opportunity that the Lord gives us to love our brother or sister who's going through pain. Remember that loving is a particular quality of the believer, according to 1 John 4. And express your love and support in a tangible and practical ways. You can send notes of encouragement, text, call, make regular visits, or simply be available to spend time together whenever possible. Along with that, offer a practical help. Offer your assistance in practical tasks, such as preparing meals or running errands or taking care of other household responsibilities that may be difficult because of physical pain. It's a way to love our brothers and sisters. Galatians 6:1 exhorts us to bear one another's burdens. So this is an opportunity for it. Of course, we need to pray for them. This is very important. It's an opportunity that God gives us to pray for them, intercede in prayer for our friends or our consolees. It's a blessing. We need to see that as a blessing. Some other aspects we need to encourage with scripture, sharing biblical passages of comfort that can strengthen our consolees faith in the midst of suffering. Lean on the Psalms, Psalm 23, Psalm 46, Psalm 55. Remind them of God's promises and His faithfulness at all times in 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Also, maintain your normal lifestyle as possible with them. Sometimes we think that physical pain dominates everything in our lives. And God expects us to respond responsibly in the midst of suffering. We see that in the scriptures. Scripture makes no exemptions to our obedience to Him. We should encourage them not to let physical pain dominate all their interactions, but remind them that the believer is not defined by sickness or pain, but by Christ, which is a blessing. And also, this is an opportunity to encourage participation in the local church as well. Sometimes fellowship with other believers can be a source of comfort and spiritual strength during difficult times as the pain. And it even helps to avoid spending all one's time thinking about oneself and to occupy the mind with thinking about ministering to one another. So this is an important opportunity to encourage them in that particular way. Also, I would say we can remind them that suffering is not permanent and that God can use even the most difficult trials for their good and His glory. So this is an opportunity to give hope and encouragement. Romans 15, 4 and verse 13 remind us that we have the God of hope and His word of hope. So hope is not in mitigating the pain with painkillers or various treatments that may work. Hope is placed in our God of hope, an eternal hope, which surpasses any kind of pain. As we see in Romans 8, 18, the same reality in where our hope is as believers. This passage is very encouraging. Imagine that your counselee will struggle with physical pain for the rest of his life. Neither you or he would know that, right? But how firmly the word of hope reminds us to that coming glory where there will be no more pain. That's wonderful. That's a real hope. So this is also a good reminder to us that biblical counseling doesn't seek to help the believer solve his or her problems, but to be God's man or woman in the midst of that problem, resting in the God of hope.
Now, I want to highlight a couple of things you said, because I want to go back to some of the focus that you mentioned on an eternal perspective, that, you know, we can encourage this person that, you know, it seems like they're in the middle of this and it will be forever. But I want to talk about that. I want to highlight some of the things you said that I think was really good. When you talked about prayer, sometimes we dismiss prayer as if that's not a way we can contribute to help. It's dismissed quite frequently. And I know for me, when I hear people praying for me or they remember sometime in the middle of next week that they said they were going to pray for me and they text me saying, hey, man, I've been praying for you. And I mean, it's just such an encouragement. That's huge. I think of some of the other things that you mentioned. You mentioned some very practical things relative to being patient with them. The scripture tells us, 1 Thessalonians 5:14, to be patient with all, that we should be patient because we don't know in this moment what they're feeling and how deeply that is. But just for us to pay attention, you mentioned just some very basic, run errands for them, help clean their house, right? Do this, do that. Those are things that while they're laying on the couch in pain, part of the thing that increases the perspective on that pain is they're thinking about the things that they could be or should be doing that need to be done. And if we can, you know, come and help them with some of those things, it helps to alleviate some of that problem. And it shows them that, listen, we know where you are and that you're hurting. We're identifying with what they're feeling. I think those are excellent ways of thinking about it. Maybe one of the most difficult things is what you mentioned at the end, to give them an eternal perspective, because it's hard.
It is.
They're living in the moment, and what's dominating the moment is pain, and it hinders me seeing in the future. So talk a little bit about how the believer can maintain this eternal God-centered perspective while in the middle of pain. And this is probably one of the most difficult things that we can do, having that God-centered perspective, and then what spiritual practices really help us in the process.
Yeah, let me mention some of them. I would like to start saying that we need to focus on worship and praise. Through worship and praise, the believer can lift his or her eyes to God and find comfort in his presence and sovereignty. So the Psalm 119:7 says, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgment. So we definitely have this opportunity to praise God, to worship his name, even when we deal with some physical situations like pain. So this will help us to have a God-centered perspective. Also, the meditation of God's word. I think the believer can find comfort and hope by meditating on God's eternal promises, which are a reminder of his love, his faithfulness, and the power over all things, like pain. Also, as we mentioned, prayer, the believer can bring his burdens and concerns to the Lord, trusting in his power and sovereignty to bring comfort and healing in the midst of physical pain. And also, I would like to mention the fellowship with the church. You know, seeking the fellowship and support of other believers can strengthen the believer's faith and remind him or her that he or she is not alone in suffering.
Manny, right now, you and I are sitting in Southern California. The weather is okay outside. You and I seem to be dealing with life okay. We're not in any physical pain. It's easy for us to talk about theoretically here. And I mentioned a moment ago, part of the difficulty of physical pain is it hinders some of the things that we can see because it's so dominant in the immediate moment. I've laid flat on my back for 5 days when I hurt my back, and I've done this a couple of times, and I literally could not physically walk. So feeling some of that, that's where my mind goes when I hear somebody who's in chronic pain, struggling with chronic illness to some degree. And sometimes I asked you earlier about how this affects the believer's faith. One of the ways that it does that is it causes us in some way to question God. Is he really good? If, you know, man, I thought if I followed him, I thought if I was devoted to him, that these kinds of bad things wouldn't happen. And we start to question the character of God. So talk about the aspects of God's character that might be especially meaningful for us to remind believers of when they're dealing with physical pain.
Yeah, thank you for asking that, because as I said a moment ago, we tend to focus on ourselves when we feel physical pain, and we have a great God. We need to be focused on him. We need to think on God as a healer. The reality is that believers facing physical pain, they can find comfort in the fact that God is a God who heals and restores. We see that in Psalm 147:3 and Isaiah 53 as well. We also need to think on God as a comforter. We can rely on God's comfort in the midst of the physical pain, knowing that he's close to those who suffer and gives them strength and comfort. Also, we can think on God as the sustainer. In times of weakness and physical pain, we as believers can trust God to sustain them and give them the strength they need to persevere. No, we see that in 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So that's a blessing to think on situations like physical pain. We can see God as a companion in suffering. He is with us. He understands our pain and suffering. He himself experienced human suffering through Jesus Christ. What a reality we have in his testimony in Jesus Christ's life. We also need to see God as the source of hope and future. As we mentioned before, we have this eternal hope in Jesus Christ. And definitely, I think on 2 Corinthians 4:18, for we are not anxious about the things which are seen, but about the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When we think on God's character, when we're dealing with a physical pain, I think we are not only thinking on God's, but we are also thinking on his glory through this physical pain situation we're dealing with.
Manny, this has been really helpful. And one of the things that I pray happens for our counselors is, as you're dealing with somebody who's struggling with some sort of physical pain, that you'll remember some of the principles that we've talked about in terms of the challenges that those who struggle with physical pain might find themselves up against. And you'd be reminded of how you can engage them relative to the promises of God, the character of God, how you can practically serve them in so many ways, so many pieces of helpful advice, many that you've given, but also maybe in a personal way. All right. The Bible makes very clear that we're all in the process of dying. And a part of that means that we're going to suffer pain, or we're going to suffer difficulty, and things will not be easy for us. Even as I think about our own death, I think about Adoniram Judson. One of the things that he described about his life and his immense suffering was, he used the phrase, how few there are who die so hard. And death is something that is difficult. And as we move toward the shadows of death, pain being some of that, we're going to experience difficulty. We need to remember some of the truths that we've talked about today. Brother, thanks for leading us in this, bringing our hearts and minds back to the character of God. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
You're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of ACBC. Speaking with Manny today, I was reminded of how thankful I am for so many brothers and sisters out at Masters who partner with ACBC. They're one of our training centers. And it was a joy recently to host one of those brothers, Dr. Greg Gifford. He recently joined us for one of our quarterly exclusive member webinars. And if you're certified with us, this will be added to your member portal under free resources. And this is one of the many reasons I believe there's a huge value in pursuing certification with ACBC. If you're thinking about pursuing certification, I'd encourage you to go to our website, look for training in your area or online, and begin the process today. Walking through the certification process is a sanctifying experience, and plus you get a host of other benefits like enjoying free resources like our most recent webinar with Dr. Greg Gifford on Lies My Therapist Told Me. To find out more information about becoming certified, or if you're a member, about free resources, visit our website, biblicalcounseling.com.